Welcome back, everyone. This is part two of our interview with Robin Jones. We know you've been waiting for this. Enjoy.
The Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined. What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made. Sit back and relax and join us for interviews with top tattoo artists.
And I was like, fuck you. I'm going to get a tattoo that, like, signifies me as only a select group mm-hmm. of people. Because yeah. I was tired of it. And I was like, I can do all this stuff, too. Like, I know I have only the safe things, like, tattooed mm-hmm. right now. But I want all these things. So I was like, just do it. I know yeah. that I'm, like, it's like tattooing gloves on yourself. The people that start with their hands first. Like, I'm starting with my chest without sleeves. But fucking, I'm doing yeah. it because I have to like proclaim this about yeah. me. And it was, and I didn't do it irreverently. Like I scoped yeah. my artists. Like I thought of the idea for a long time and it changed. I actually asked two different artists about it and waited long nice. Enough. But yeah, like
yeah.
it was totally a thing. Yeah. Now, is there an art style that you gravitate more to?
Not entirely sure. I sort of trying to figure that out at the moment. Yeah. Like I do really enjoy like color illustrative work, mm-hmm. usually still including line work and things yeah. like that. For a while I was thinking that like neo-traditional would be mm-hmm. a direction I was heading towards. Yeah. And I do still like elements from it, but I'm not yeah. sure it's 100%
yeah.
where I would end up.
So well, just so you know, I'm like 10, 11 years in my, I would say when I was 6 years in, that was about my focus. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck am I? Like, yeah. because in art school, you are taken through the entire gauntlet of things. Mm-hmm. And as an artist anyway, like if we can make marks or play with it with our hands, we're like, oh, I want to fuck with it. You know, yeah. like it's hard, again, to have that focus. And again, we're both admittedly ADD.
Yep.
So like, boom, shiny thing, squirrel,
yep.
you know, and that's, I had to very much go first. I had to realize like that there is a nice thing to having a style mm-hmm. as a profession. Like at yeah. first I was like, oh, I'm going to do everything because that will be great for everyone. And I don't have yeah. to, you know, cut my crowd. And then
it's
I realized
street shops, you kind of yes. got it. Do you want to make money?
Yes.
Like enough to live on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you've got to be able to do 90% of the stuff that comes in through that door.
Yes, exactly.
So you train yourself for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also, I enjoy working on different techniques and perfecting them. And so I can yes. find joy in something that is just line work with no give and you have mm-hmm. to do it perfectly and you can't fudge anything
yes.
versus like you can also enjoy watercolor where it's mm-hmm. a little more like
free flowing
and smooth and you can mm-hmm. kind of do your Bob Rossi kind of thing. Be like, ah, oh, yes, I'm just a little bit of happy tree.
Oh, you bumped there. Another tree.
Yeah.
you
know, like,
okay. Happy little accident.
Yeah. No mistakes.
Yeah.
Just happy accident.
Yeah.
You know?
A little yellow ochre, mm-hmm. titanium white.
So, you know, I've like, and I think probably part of it was a defense mechanism mm-hmm. for working in a street
yes.
shop where you do have to do everything. Is you've got to find something
yeah.
you like in mm-hmm. almost everything.
Yeah.
Even if it's lettering, where you're like, I'm just going to make it if it's damn crisp lettering and it's mm-hmm. going to be as clean as I can make it. And
yep.
just take pride in that because
yep.
you might not get a fun, cool art piece for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Like,
absolutely. And there's always the attitude, you know, that kind of comes with people if you're in a street shop. And this was something I kind of experienced, not necessarily at Tattooed Heart, but my first apprenticeship mm-hmm. was like, oh, you're above that. Oh, you're
yeah.
so fancy. You're above that. And I'm like, fuck off, dude. Like, it's this regular thing of like, puff up your ego, slam it back down.
Yep.
Puff up your ego, slam it back down. And it's like really hard. Like, you're like,
yeah.
dude, I have to go through the gauntlet of all these emotions constantly. And, you know, in all ways, I'm like thinking, don't be an asshole. Just
yeah.
don't be an asshole. Don't
yeah.
be an asshole.
Well, it's just weird because people will like come in and, you know, be like, find out that I'm booked out about 2 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, oh, I'm booked out 2 months. It's like, yeah, that's probably a good sign.
Yeah.
Like if
yeah.
you really want to get tattooed by me, that means that a lot of people are.
Yes.
At the moment.
Exactly.
So
I'm
maybe wait. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. But,
well, and
or if you don't care, please go to someone else.
Right.
I won't be hurt. Like, that's fine.
There's lots of dialogues. I mean, for me, I'm like, how long did it take you? I mean, really, if you thought about it, to buy your house.
Yeah.
Like, how long did that take to prospect? It was probably a month or two
mm-hmm.
in the making, if it was even expedited that much. Like
yeah.
sometimes, and that's not forever. Like it's a huge purchase, but it's not forever. I'm asking you to make forever decisions.
Yeah.
And they should take some time to think about. Like it should.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this will give you like, yeah, like you're consulting with me now. you're not going to see me until 2 months from now, but think about all that time that you have to sit on the things that I've told you,
yep.
you know, about this and really start thinking about this with the time that you're given
yep.
waiting, you know, because how many times have you had somebody that where, I mean, I had in the beginning, I would say to my boss, John, like, oh, I'm going to pre-design a bunch of stuff. He's like, no, you fuck them all. He's like, you won't design anything. He's like, you might be able to design it with enough time to show your client beforehand. Mm-hmm. He's like, but you're not going to want to show them beforehand. I was like, why? And he's like, because then the changing game happens.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
like, you show them something and they'll love it right away. But
until
then
they have the edits the
yes,
next morning
yes.
and they ask their 12 friends.
Yep. And then it'll go on the entire month you have asking them to wait, because then they'll pop on Pinterest
yep.
and then they'll start siphoning from all these different things. And then what was beautiful that they asked
mm-hmm.
you to craft is now like being picked apart every which way, just simply because in the beginning they didn't fucking know like
yep.
what they wanted. You have to show them what they want.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
that's a hard thing to get used to.
Yeah.
Well, watching her design, she, like
yeah.
she'll come up with like this awesome stuff. I'm like, damn, that's awesome. She'll send it to the client. And they're like, and they don't like it. And I'm like, fuck them. They get nothing.
So like, no soup for you.
And you don't deserve this.
Because I've watched her like for hours design it. And I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
And then,
maybe the tattoo Nazi.
Yeah.
No tattoos for you.
Yeah,
you know?
Nothing for you. And they just completely reject it. And I'm like, I will crush me.
Yeah. Well, there's always that moment where you're like showing to me, you're like, please like it.
I know. And
I
you're
thought into it.
You're like, oh. Or you're like, you're kind of married to a piece and you're and the you put so much thought on it that you know doesn't register to them as
mm-hmm.
that amount of thought. Like, this color was put specifically here because it's meant to activate this over
yep.
here. And they're like, oh, but I don't like blue. And I'm like, no, blue is the only
yeah.
color. And they're
yeah.
like, what? And you're like, because if I change that blue,
mm-hmm.
then this whole piece is fucked.
Yep.
And they're like, I was like, please don't think that I am so, you know, whitewashed in my perspective of what I do that I have forgotten to think about how I'm
yep.
designing it. Every bit of my knowledge has gone into this one design. So it's nothing's irreverent.
Yep.
Nothing. So,
yeah.
you know.
Like, I do a lot of cover-ups.
Yeah.
And
oh,
like that.
Yeah.
And then that's like people be like, well, what if we just did
mm-hmm.
this change and that change? And it's like, well, then you will see the old tattoo.
Yes. Yes.
Like there is a reason
yeah.
I designed it this way.
Yep.
yep.
And I'll try, you know, if it's something that doesn't matter as much, yeah, I'll try to compromise
yes.
and find things. But like there's some things where it's like, no. Yellow is not
yep.
going to cover that strong black.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Like,
and then again, it goes into the whole.
So trust me or don't.
Yeah, it
yeah.
is.
And
it
like,
is. It isn't forever.
Away,
yeah.
Walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, yeah, and that is kind of a frustration for me. Is that like you know, you've already gone down a path where clearly you didn't have any advisement, you know,
yeah.
and if you did, you didn't listen. So now that you have this thing that you're asking me now to cover up, now you're still asserting more
mm-hmm.
about it, like. I'm fine with you asking. And like, yes, it's a dialogue where you can, if you can compromise, great. Cause you wouldn't want them to have a tattoo again that they're
yeah,
less than happy with. But at the end of the day, it is that kind of thing of like, yeah, now we have to work backwards. Like, of course, if this was a free panel of skin, we could be
mm-hmm.
watercolory and like do cool negatives
yep.
all day, which would actually make your design a lot more powerful and potent. However,
yep.
we are not there. And so now we have to work from choices that shoulda, coulda, woulda, but this is
yeah.
where we got. So it is one of those things. And that was a big thing was like, Paul used to have people walk in and they were like, I need this thing covered and I don't care what with, I just need it gone. He's like, you don't care with what
yeah.
at all? They're
oh,
like, no,
favorite.
I know.
Yeah. I just want a tattoo. Like whatever you think is cool. Be like half an avocado. We're sitting down and they're like, oh, I don't want half an avocado. I was like, well, it'd be really cool. Like the
you
texture on the
whatever.
Skin and the sun's on the
avocado
like,
is way
thinking,
better than what he
skull with flames. And I was like, oh, well then you should have said
yeah.
flames.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Or give me something,
like,
you know,
anything, just general
right.
what you're into.
Exactly.
Like,
don't dash it first by just thinking that this is so ominous a tax to cover, because if it's not coverable, I will tell you that
yeah.
shit I can't do.
Yeah.
And there has been ones that I'm like, there's no way
oh,
short of you. Yeah.
Where it's like,
yep.
yeah, get it lightened. I'm
yep.
sorry.
Yep. And then they don't want to go through the whole lightening process. And they're like, well, I guess I'll learn to live with it. And I'm like, that's what you got to do when
yep.
you've gotten this far. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and most of those situations I find where they've gotten to a point where they're not tattooable, for me anyway, has been somebody who started with an initial idea, didn't get what they wanted. Then they went to another tattoo artist,
yes.
and then they added on to that, didn't get what they wanted, because the tattoo artist is like, yeah, I can fucking throw some bullshit on that.
Yep.
And then get your money. And then they, some of them have gone to a third artist and then added stuff. And they're like, well, now I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this, like, I was trying to bring into, you know, like another piece out of this like tribal flower piece that I got in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to be soft now. And I thought if I did this thing, and it just got blacker and blacker,
yes.
and blacker. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And then I'm looking at it, it's like on their ankle. And I'm like, and they don't want it any bigger. And I'm like, well.
Well, yeah. Well, if they don't want it any bigger, then that's when you're like, well, sorry, cover-ups are not
can't.
For you.
I can't. And I'm like, yeah. This is where we're at. And so you do a lot of, do you enjoy cover-ups?
I do, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Not exclusively.
No.
I do. Sometimes having that nice, free canvas, you don't have to worry about
yes.
anything.
It's
lovely.
It is.
But there's that extra challenge in the cover-up, which makes it, like, the reward that much better.
Yeah.
When you're like, oh, thank goodness I took the before picture with the stencil on it so that now I can show people there was actually a tattoo under there.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
yeah, and
yes.
I think people... yeah, exactly. It's so great. Well, and it is. It's I identify with that because I've noticed that my worst clients are my engineers because they always are like, I'll know it when I see it.
Yeah.
But then when I think about trying to train Andrea, I'm a very engineer type brain. So
mm-hmm.
everything for me was very intuitive. So I was like, oh, fuck, this is the reason why I don't like these people as clients
yeah.
is because this is something that's deficient in myself.
Yeah.
And so I've taken on the task of trying to, you know, learn how to better communicate things that I want people to think about while they're learning and things like that. But that's one of the things that I've noticed is specifically an engineer brain is that we love puzzles.
Oh, yeah.
Like anything where it's like, oh, my God, give me a puzzle and I'll sit
like
for hours and just
nitty-gritty and play with
mm-hmm.
everything and move it from different perspectives. And
yes.
Like
it's
yeah.
super fun. And I'm like, yeah. So that's the thing that like I get into when I
mm-hmm.
do a cover up. I'm just like, ooh, challenge. Yes.
And you're like, okay, well, what if that? Okay. So if this bit of light goes over here, then that
means
yes. like black here. And then there's the white highlights. We're
mm-hmm.
going to move that line. And then you're going to twist this and throw this thing over. And we're going to strike the eye. And
yes.
You can just
like,
go
it's
into this
super
like,
cool.
ooh,
yeah.
possibilities.
Yes.
But
yes.
you're like having to work with that. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
That puzzle that you have before you. And how can you make it fit together?
And the gratitude is, I think, amped up that much more from your client
oh, yeah.
when you do succeed. Like it's great to do a really solid tattoo that's wonderful that you know makes
mm-hmm.
somebody feel great. But when you know you've revamped their life,
yeah.
like I've covered up swastikas before
mm-hmm.
for people.
Yeah.
I've covered up some things that they're like, I cannot, like this cannot be my future. Like I
yeah.
made, I fucked up.
Yeah.
And so to change somebody's life like that, where you know that every person now is not going to be hostile towards them
mm-hmm.
and not treat them a certain way is yeah. super gratifying.
Or it's gotten to their self-esteem where they're sitting there going
yep.
like, I haven't worn a tank top in like
yeah.
5 years because I hate this tattoo on my arm. And then
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh great, like I can go ahead and I can
yeah
show
like,
this off.
Look at it.
Yes,
like, oh,
yes
God.
It's such a nice thing to do for people.
It's like I had this cover up that was in process and it was actually for a large scar. So this client had gotten it when the scar when he was a baby because he was born like with his intestines on the outside, and so
holy
they did this
God.
surgery, and there's this whole webbing, and so there's this inset scar that's probably about like maybe about 6 or 7 inches across,
right?
And 3 to 4 like inches, like
wow.
top
holy
to bottom.
Damn.
And we were able to design this big shark, and so the scar is actually the shark's
cool
mouth.
Shit.
So it's like literally 3D, like it.
Like,
the teeth
ah,
on the edge of that scar.
Dude.
And so he was able to go to the beach and he just took off his shirt for the first time.
Aww.
And like, you know, like since he was a little kid.
That's really cool.
People had always like made fun of him for it. And now he was just
aww.
Like, nope.
Yep.
I got
kids
this piece.
Freaking savage.
Oh, yeah.
They are savage. But also, like,
it
it's one of those things
God.
That made a lot of sense to his personality,
mm-hmm.
too, because, like, yeah, I'm sure living that entire time, never taking your shirt off, like,
yeah.
you become probably a very charismatic, fun, loving, satirical person
mm-hmm.
just because
yeah.
you got to take your hits while they come. And, like, to be starting off already with, you know, that thing that's different about you that is going to make you stand out and then be able to make fun of it afterwards and just kind of, like, not fun, but, like, you know, he's acting like a shark bit him there. And, like, you know, your tattoo now says something about your personality. You're the type of guy who will take a situation like that and make the best out of it, which is so cool.
And plus, people are going to be looking at it now and being like, oh, my God, that's awesome. Oh, wow, it's part of this scar.
Yes.
Like, it's the second level,
right?
You know, of
just
a little bit of that.
Right. Well, and it's a way he can own his experience, too, because now the shark is the thing that probably gets people's attention more. And then the scar is after.
Yeah.
And now it opens up the dialogue of like, dude, where did you get that scar? And he can talk about it and get empathy instead of people just seeing a scar
like,
and being
like,
oh,
what hell?
Like, what the fuck happened to you, bro?
Yeah.
And like, it's
just. Get burned by a rectangle?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
See, you roast everybody. He's a roaster.
That's why he can't take the shirt off.
I know. Babe, you're terrible. You're like, I wouldn't naze anybody.
I don't.
No, you don't perceive it that way. But you just roll really well with people who do that, which is cool because that's why I miss dudes in the studio. It's that kind
of. You're just like, oh, yeah, well, when I talk shit about you, that means that we're cool.
Yeah, we're cool. Yeah.
I like you.
Like, yep, exactly. Exactly. Yep. It's that little brother kind of that we're missing in the studio. It's like, we need that.
Yeah.
We need that. Do you like being a tattoo artist?
I do.
Good.
Yeah. I think as soon as I started actually tattooing, like, I realized that, like, I could be very happy in it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a tendency to, almost every job that I've started, I've been really psyched about for 6 months. And then after that, I learn enough about it, and I'm kind of bored by it.
That's cool.
But tattooing, like, it doesn't let you get bored. There's always going to be something to learn and something that goes a little crazy, and you have to, like, fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And then plus, like, obviously getting to draw.
Yeah.
And for a living is great.
So. Yeah.
Do you custom make your own needles? Like, I heard some people
solder. Oh, no.
Okay.
No, actually, I don't think that the person who owned the shop I was at had ever had to make his own needles. I'm sure some people had at one point, but if you're relatively busy, like, who's got time for that these days?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Gotcha.
But I heard stories about it, so I never learned to do that. I didn't learn to tune traditional machines as much as I would have liked to.
Wait, you tune machines that you have to tune them as well?
Yeah, because they can get...
Yeah.
Wonky, like
you gotta keep like files around your because you have to file off the
scale off the contact points and like otherwise they won't complete their circuit.
Yeah, they're magnetic connections. So if they don't or you know like electromagnetic current. So if there's like a layer of debris that happens just by metals hitting metals, it'll disrupt the connection so that your machine's not working well anymore. So you have to file it off. There's a
and
whole
there's
bunch
like
of things.
Geometrics to it, like the particular shape of the frame and then the length of the armature bar is going to affect how it hits.
Yep. Your contact screw, like that's on there, like sometimes you have to file them so that they hit specifically a certain way so you get a good connection. Like there's a lot of shit.
There's some people who can sit down and they just know everything about it and they just run it for a second, listen to it, and they're like, oh, it needs this.
Yeah.
Whereas like I never learned quite enough to do that. If it was hitting really well, I could tell that it was. But if it wasn't, I couldn't tell why it wasn't.
Yeah.
So that was even like the most frustrating thing. I got a new machine and I really loved it. And one of the tattoo artists at the time, because I was still an apprentice finishing that up, he took the spring out of my machine and used it on one of his and then threw in some random junk spring. And I was just sitting there being like, oh, why is this, like, running weird?
Wait, he just, like...
He took your shit?
Yeah.
He hijacked your stuff?
Well, this is a guy who was taking money on the side. I mean, when he got out, he also tried to get me to get his machines out of the shop and smuggle them to him.
And you're like,
I'm
no.
Sitting there going like, nah, man, like,
I'm
this is a year and a half
your
in.
Shit.
Like, I am not risking this for you. Sorry, dude.
No. And that's kind of how they make us, too, is that I feel like, too, with the education process... and there's a lot of shops that run as independent contractors, but I feel like it's so much better and so much more in tune with what an artist is if you have a camaraderie and where you guys can grow together and influence each other instead of being a standalone person. But I feel like a lot of the way that they make you be is this super self-reliant person who doesn't need anybody, and if you know, you're like me, you're like, dude, this is so harsh. And like, you know, I'm able to do all this shit for you. Like, if you need somebody to do this for you, I'll fucking do it. Like, I'm sitting right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it teaches you, like, with a lot of these apprenticeships that I hear about, to not offer, to stick to your own, to not risk your own being because this person's fucking up. Like, you don't feel like you can help and you don't know if you're okay to like assert certain things. It's very dancing on eggshells, which sucks because it's like, dude,
you got to figure out where that line is. And that was like the mentor, he would do steroids sometimes. So you get like the fun of a roid rage cycle.
Oh, yeah, he knows all about, he's a weightlifter.
Yeah.
So he knows.
I'm like Last of the Mohicans, man. My buddies like do that shit. And sometimes like they're almost impossible to deal with because like they say it's a myth. No, that shit's fucking for real, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They get
he'd
depressed.
Be like, oh, I'm getting up, I'm starting it again. I'm like,
oh
no. Because everything
will
be wrong.
Wow.
Everything.
That sucks.
Yeah, they get into this depression and shit like that. And then they're like, they are moody, man. I'm telling you. And you can always tell when somebody's on gear because their skin is real weird. They get like acne, like a motherfucker.
Yep.
Like they're prepubescent, like, you know, about to hit puberty.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is the skin, man, it gets all grainy.
Oh, we know.
Like,
we worked on it.
Fucking weird.
It's like weird. Yeah.
And it's really
hard. And they
bleed
more than regular people.
Yeah.
Like, if you ever seen weightlifters when they lift and they got like blood like shooting out of their face, it's because it weakens your capillaries.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Well, and that's something I hope that in the future, if they're going to raise up a profession, which I don't know if they will, I think they're just going to over-regulate is probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
it's a weird, strange regulations that don't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at who's like creating that one specific product and you go,
they
are talking to the regulatory agencies.
You know
what?
I don't think they're going to regulate it like that. But if they find out how much money is in y'all's industry, that's what I think they're going
to
be going
after. It's in the industry, but it's not to any of us. It's like anything art related, really. It's like there's a lot of money changing hands, but to who it actually goes to, it very rarely goes to the artist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And tattooing, it's hard to track, too, because there is still that sort of underbelly mentality in a lot of places. So
yeah.
The cash
to
in
hide
the shop,
whatever they want.
Which is like, somehow in business and it only makes $20K a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
like it only makes $20K
a
year.
I mean, my hope, though, is
that
they'll start studying it. Like you just said, like, what will a roid cycle, a steroid cycle? I mean, that's something that just somebody who has allergies might be on is like around steroids.
Yeah, and
if we don't know that as professionals that you're on those things and what it's going to do to your tattoos, we can't talk about them. So, you know, if you research these things in alignment with tattooing, to me, then you could make actual regulations on things where you can tell somebody, please, you know, don't take this medication when you come. Or if you're on a round of steroids, this is not a good time. Or, you know, like for me, a big thing that I've been telling my clients is like the thing that I find the most potent for whether or not your tattoo will be well is if you get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And it's so.
And hydration.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And hydration. Those basic things that are like you wouldn't think. And, you know, why does alcohol have such a potent effect? Well, it dehydrates you. It takes away from your ability to have a good night's sleep. It doesn't allow you to get in the proper.
Makes your blood thin.
It makes your blood thin. There's so many things that are converse to a tattooing that most people just think, you know, about the blood thinning. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all they think about. Like, oh, I'm going to bleed out. Like, really, you're going to have to drink a shit ton. To make that
like,
happen.
You'll have to be in the hospital before that particular
alcohol. Exactly.
But it's also like, well, are you coming in drunk?
Yes.
Well, are you going to sit still?
Yes.
Are you going to get a tattoo you'll want tomorrow?
Yes.
Are you going to like gesticulate with your hands and like, be in the way?
Yep.
Or just be an ass while you're in the chair?
Yep.
None of those things are going to make your tattoo artist happy. They're not going to produce a good tattoo.
Yep.
That kind of thing. But there's all the time you come across stuff where you wouldn't have even thought that it could apply to the tattoo. But I had someone come in and we're doing a sleeve. I'd worked on him a bunch before and we started doing some gray shading and he just started turning blood red.
Whoa.
Like his skin was just, at the second
red.
You touch it, red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there going like, my God, this has never happened. I'm checking my needles and my machines, like going over everything. And he's like, well, I had a couple beers last night, but nothing crazy. Well, that's the thing is you're sitting there going like, that shouldn't
be
not
the
enough
thing.
To have a problem. He started taking fish oil supplements.
Oh.
And apparently it will do that.
Got
what?
You.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's just like super.
Yes. So if they did research on things like
and
that.
And he had looked it up and he was like, oh, I think this might be the problem. And he didn't stop taking them like 3 or 4 days before he came in for the next session. No problem.
I found that people that are anemic have more sensitive skin than people who are not. So I asked them to like make sure your iron's at a good level and that your blood count is good if you're going to come in because the sensitivity level will go way up if you're anemic. It's weird. I had a guy who had to have regular blood transfusions because his body just didn't like produced its own iron. Mm-hmm. And like he had to regularly get blood transfusions because he was like deathly anemic. And it was excruciating for him to get tattooed. It was only like a couple hours of tattoos. And, you know, he wasn't... You know, there's brawny guys that you know because they're very muscular, they're going to probably incur a little bit more pain just because their skin's so tight and, like, all this stuff. And usually if you're more of an average person, you can kind of sit through it. But there was nothing about him, and the area was not, like, super – that I could be like, wow, like, this is me or this is the tattoo itself. It was definitely him, and there was definitely something not normal with him that was – making his time really bad. So I was like, oh shit, you know, like, and then I've noted it with each person that I'm like, they're like, oh, I have very sensitive skin. And I was like, do you run anemic usually? Mm-hmm. And they're like, yes, I do.
Anemic what?
When you don't have a lot of iron in your blood and where you get low blood count a lot and you need a lot of like sugar to keep your energy up, you dip really fast if you don't have enough nutrients in your blood and you'll pass out. You'll just pass out.
So it's like an illness that requires like a shit ton of candy throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, they do sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they can feel when they're starting to like get off, you know, like just
low
like
energy,
yeah,
kind of just like feeling a little off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they might pass out.
And that sucks, but the trade-off is you get candy.
I mean, sometimes,
candy,
I mean,
anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Without having to feel sick.
Well,
yeah. The low iron is, like, the biggest thing with anemia, and it's, like, they put them on things that have an iron count that keeps them.
It can also affect clotting sometimes.
Yes.
Like that. So you might mm-hmm. find yourself bleeding more. In tattoos, mm-hmm. it tends not to matter as much, but in piercings, like,
yes.
that was always a headache.
Yes. Now, did you? You did? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you start out with that, or did you?
I actually started doing the piercings after I done tattoos.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it kind of an offshoot of like the
just
tattoo shop?
Extra money. Yeah, they were, I mean, they had piercings, and then the main apprentice who'd been doing most of them left, and
right.
the owner didn't want to come in and have
and
to do
them.
So he would just say, oh, well, call us or call me when someone comes into the shop asking for a piercing and I'll drive to the shop.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, it was not a feasible business plan.
No.
Mm-hmm. Or he would like be like, oh, well, the person said they were going to be in at 5:30, but it's 5:25 and they're not here. So I'm going to pull out as their car is like pulling into the parking lot. And
leave.
So I was finally like, you know what? A little extra income doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And I'll just like learn to do it.
Very cool.
And it isn't, you know, they're doing them's fine, but at the end of the day, tattoos are way more interesting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I don't like having to stop tattooing to get up and try and do a piercing or
yes.
juggle that because it's a pain in the butt.
Hell,
or
I mean,
one of
yeah.
those piercers that go, you ready on three? Ready? One.
No, I always give people like actual warning.
Okay.
I don't know. Just like, I want them to be prepared because sometimes people jerk
mm-hmm.
if they're surprised.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'd much rather them like tense up and wince than just
yeah.
be like,
yeah.
I remember when I was like 16, I got my tongue pierced and this chick like, you know, with those pliers. And I was like, you ready? On three. And I was like, yeah. And then she was like, you ready? One. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. that anemia kind of thing. Like, I remember piercing a girl's nose and she wanted a ring, which I wasn't a huge fan of. But in any case, to get a firm transfer, you have a slightly larger needle so
yes.
you can inset the jewelry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I go ahead and I pull it through and I get the jewelry, remove the needle. And then all of a sudden, it was like elevator doors on The Shining, just like
yep.
blood.
Yep.
Everywhere.
Left her face.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just like, and I'm like,
no.
Oh my God. And there's that one moment in your head where you're like, did I screw this up?
Right.
And then the mom, because it was a minor, was like, oh, right, I forgot to mention she kind of bleeds a lot. Like, you could have told me.
Come on,
I
man.
I had like three extra paper
man.
Towels out at least.
Right.
Like something.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Prepared to catch someone.
You don't pierce
yeah.
anymore, right? You don't
no,
do anymore.
No, we don't do that here.
Yeah.
So.
They do cosmetic makeup and things like that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You don't do it.
I don't.
Yes.
No.
I thought about it. I mean, I used to do, you know, stuff like that, the beauty industry.
Yeah.
But
tattooed the eyebrows.
Yeah.
I seen this lady, this older lady came in my pizzeria and I had to wait on her. And,
and I had to
whoever
wait on her.
Did this shit, I'm just like, how could you even think that's eyebrows? It was literally two
like,
lines.
Oh,
yeah.
Two
you can get
lines.
Some really, like, sometimes people will like ask for that specifically and people will cave. Or sometimes it's just the artist doesn't know what they're doing. Who knows?
It was horrible.
But, yeah,
I'm like,
no,
I could have done better with a Sharpie.
Like, for me, like, I don't even, like, do my own makeup that often.
Yeah.
And when I do, like, half the time, it looks like a raccoon with palsy. Like, it's
well,
not...
Like, why natural eyebrows on
yeah,
chicks?
So I'm
cool.
Like,
it's like, what's wrong with natural
eyebrows?
Well,
no, I mean, you get people like me who,
like
I have darker
paler.
Hair,
yeah.
but, like, my eyebrows don't match my hair color, which is, like, a deeper blonde, like a dark blonde, like yours. It's about yours. Yeah. But like it doesn't, I have no eyebrows. You have eyebrows. Yeah. Like,
well, then that's cool. But like if a chick's got eyebrows like mine, like that's totally cool.
There's also
cool.
Like yeah. Some yeah. People wear like maybe they have alopecia, so they don't actually have hair there.
Yep.
Maybe they're getting older.
Yep.
And so they like can't see as well, or their hands aren't steady.
Yep.
Or if it's someone where
well,
stylistically they want to fill it in all the time and they're spending 15 minutes every single day doing
yeah.
That.
This lady like, had eyebrows. Like, I don't know if she just didn't wax them in time, but you could see like the stubble. Like, and it was just thick.
She shaved them off.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm just like, why?
I don't know.
And her makeup was just like, I was like,
I mean,
come on,
there's
man.
A lot of things that, you know,
maybe she can't see.
Everyone,
I mean, you know,
has decided are not attractive traits.
I'm like,
yeah,
let's get out of
the
your
time
house.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I mean, see, that's what we're kind of good at is like informing people about like what the outside voices are going to be if they make certain moves.
Yep.
And like, you know, we're better than most people with that because we
well, yeah.
Live in that industry. You know, we know how people.
But at least you guys are looking out for people because whoever did that,
some of us,
face, I was
yeah.
Like, was clearly
it's not universal.
No,
like, there's still plenty of people who happily just take your money and send you on your way.
And yeah. They're tradesmen; they're not artists.
Well, I mean,
some of them are.
I mean, it's
too, but it just depends.
I don't know. I mean, it's like a blending of the two. I think it's just, it really just depends on what you're aiming to do. For me, it was always, I want to do my art for a living.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It wasn't like, I want a job that I can come home and just be home. Like,
yeah.
I can't think of an existence without me obsessing about art. So for
yeah.
Me, it was like, how can I make money just doing that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And other people, that's not their focus. Their art's for them. They don't want it for anyone else. Like,
yeah.
They might be artists, but that's not how they run their business or professional life. They're like, I want to come in, do what's there, go home. Like,
yeah.
That's it. And we had actually an artist, Tori. He didn't like all the emailing and the back and forth. He's like,
mm-hmm.
Just come in and get shit, dude. Like, I don't get
mm-hmm.
It. Like, come in, know what you want. You know, show me what you want. I'll draw it there and then we'll do it. Like, I don't get all this. I hate all this back and forth shit. And he ended up leaving our studio really well. Like, I don't know why sometimes he's like, can I come back and visit? I'm like, Tori, you left fine. Like,
oh,
what?
Didn't burn the bridges down.
Yeah. Like, we
just
love you. Like, there was no hard feelings, man. Like, it just wasn't your rhythm.
This industry can get pretty personal
yeah.
When it comes to leaving a shop.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times where I was frustrated in my apprenticeship for the first like year or so tattooing where I was like, well, maybe
yeah.
I can leave. And I didn't because I wasn't sure about what
yeah.
The people were going
to do to you yeah.
To me or spread rumors about me
mm-hmm.
And like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, I'll just stay here. And
yeah.
Ignore everything and
yeah.
See what I can do for myself. But yeah, because, you know, I didn't know. I've always had the problem that I tend to come in and I work a ton and then I go home and I don't talk to anyone. So I didn't know a ton of tattoo artists
yeah.
Who I didn't actively work with.
Mm-hmm.
So people could have said anything about me and
yeah.
No one would know any different. They'd just be like, oh, that Robin, yeah, she did these like crazy things. You know, she's, you know, tattooing people after hours
mm-hmm.
And like taking their money or
yep.
Who knows? And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever,
and there wasn't
was
enough. Dialogue out there to challenge
yeah.
That, you know, so
yeah, like, who am I? They're not going to know. So,
but that's, I mean, you know, we ran into stuff like that. My boss and I, at one point, one of the things that was reverberating around Glen Burnie about us, I was like, oh shit, we're famous. And he's
mm-hmm.
Like, what? You're very not affected by this. And I was like, come on, man. All news is good news. I was like, what does it say about their life? They're busy talking about ours. I was
mm-hmm.
Like, they must be bored as shit or just worse, boring.
Yeah.
I was like, at least we have something interesting enough that it's taking up their time while
mm-hmm.
We're not even there. I was like, and I know who I am. I don't give a fuck. If somebody's
mm-hmm.
Going to pay attention to what somebody else says about me, I don't even want to deal with that person
yeah.
Anyway. I was like, because that's a person who's a victim of gossip. And like, I'm not going to entertain it. And why is any of this relevant to being a good tattoo artist anyway?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Really.
So like, the personal thing.
You can say once you can
yeah.
Show an actual portfolio of work
yeah.
And be like, look at me, I'm a good artist.
Yeah.
You'll talk to me in person and realize
yeah.
That these things aren't true.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there and you don't have a huge body of work,
mm-hmm.
You know, in an area where you can hire
yeah.
Anyone, like.
Well, I'm an extroverted introvert. So
oh, there you go.
I have
yeah.
A little bit more like up top. Of
mm-hmm.
Like the, yay, like I'm very vivacious, but I just need to go and atone. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing, is that if I'm going to
recharge,
that's what I need. So like I have a really good A game with people, like right up top, and I can talk a lot with them, and I do. But I need to recharge. So I am introverted by choice, but I've overcome a lot of things just because I've had a lot of therapy. And I know that, like, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. Like, fuck it. If they don't like me, they don't like me up top, it's fine. Like, I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but whatever. Like, this is about me declaring who I am and just splitting the hairs right away. Like, we're just get it out. So that's just kind of how I kind of go about it. But yeah, like, that was my reaction. He's like, wow, okay. I'm glad that you see it that way. I'm like, oh yeah, man. Like, whatever, man. Like, I don't care. But you're right. It is easier to do that when you feel like grounded in where you are. In the beginning, there's none of that. Like, you can't even ask when I'm going to tattoo.
Yeah. You're like, well, I guess I really do want to tattoo at some point.
Yeah.
Better not press these buttons.
Totally.
Yeah.
Are there rock, well, what you perceive to be like all stars in the industry that you really like, that people that you're looking at that like, you find that you really like in the industry?
Like just as their work and stuff. Recently I've been like looking a lot at Teresa Sharp's stuff.
Oh, I love her work.
Because I saw her, I went to that first Explorers conference.
Oh, did you? How was it?
It was really good.
I haven't been. I keep waiting. I know they've done the dates, but I'm like, come back here.
I know, right? That's what I keep thinking. It's like, I can't quite justify flying out and going.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a ton of fun. It's a person called Mambo Tattooer.
Okay.
That does these really amazingly just like simplified graphic designs, which I mean are not at all the type of art that I do.
Right.
Just like the
omissions,
the essence of things,
mm-hmm.
which is very cool.
That's sometimes really good to know that what you're not strong at, but to be looking at somebody and admiring their work because they're so strong at it. Like limited palettes have always gotten me of like, wow, that's like the perfect color combination and it's the right hits. But I get lost in those things because just enough, I get really, really tempted by detail.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's like even we do these like $100 Friday the 13th like specials here. And it's like, okay, we'll do something that you would do for like, you know, normally $150, $200.
Like,
I'm sitting there going like, oh, well, I'm going to put a ton of these lines in and then all these colors. And like, I enjoy the tattoos that I do, but I'm still sitting there going like, oh, that was
definitely
I lost money
on that.
Yeah, I figure at least I'm doing stuff that I want to do. So I try and make sure I'm not throwing in stuff that I hate. So.
Well, and it makes it conscionable, like, to do those kind of specials is, like, you're introducing somebody to your artwork, hopefully, with that. Like, that's the point, even though that might not be what they're aiming for.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we go into it is, like, if I'm not having fun, I'll take a hit on a day like this because I'm hoping that it'll introduce them to the studio at large or, like, what we're about. So there's just different things that you're fishing for. I'll have to look him. I don't know people by name or handles or anything.
Yeah, I always forget them the second that I have to think about them.
Yeah.
Because the names are so arbitrary that they just fly out right out of my head.
Well, and it's a thing, too, that if you're looking at so much media all the time, you're not making media. So, like, if you want to make media, you kind of got to wall in a little bit or, like, you know, not wall in because I definitely look at other art to inform mine. I will say that. But you do. You can't produce a bunch of shit when you're looking at everybody else's stuff. You know, people are always asking me, like, oh, you know, what are you listening to as far as podcasts? And I'm like, I'm backlog, man, because I'm making a podcast. Like, I don't have time. Like,
the only one I listen to is mine when I edit it.
Yeah, exactly. and you know, a couple people that I actually know in podcast land, like, that are doing it. Like, that's all I really have time for. And, you know, you think about that and it's like, you know, I can't wait. I don't know if you feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for me to see an obvious rip of my work. It hasn't happened.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't wait until I see it. Like, I'm going to just be like, they copied me. I would be so excited. Everybody's, like, mad about that, like, when they see somebody copy their work. And I'm just like, I can't wait because then I'll know I've arrived.
Yeah.
Like, somebody's,
well,
like, ripping my shit.
You guys have a similar style, right?
Yeah, we do.
No one's going to rip your shit because it's too complicated to fuck. It's not kitschy. It's real shit. It's like,
well, and
people will still try.
They'll try.
Yeah, they're going to try and fucking fail hard.
I've only
those
seen
are the best. The ones where like they traced it but it was like a sleeve, so there was a wrap, but they traced it with the wrap.
With the wrap.
So like the angles are weird.
Yeah.
You're just like, ah, it's beautiful.
That's definitely, you ripped my shit. Well, and it's all, our biggest thing, I think, is that, that we designed it for a client specific.
Yeah,
and
that's
this client,
what I worry about
yeah.
the most. It's just that it was a very special idea for someone.
Yeah, but like my whole thing is like they're ripping it because one, it's good art. You know,
yeah.
like it's just good art. But two, like, they are not aware of all the things that, like, we talked about where I'm going to listen to my client and I'm going to infuse my client into this. Like, for me, it's like, you're getting a poor man's blah, blah, blah. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, not only did you not go to the artist that could have delivered that to you exactly the way it is, but you also didn't take the time to craft this experience. So for me, even though you ripped a piece, and even if it is a rendition that's good and sated in being a tattoo, there is not the energy there with that tattoo that it had with me and my client. My client and I bonded. My
mm-hmm.
client and I, we went through, you know, a, all of their things that they wanted for that tattoo, and they can wear that tattoo knowing
mm-hmm.
that they own it because it taught about all the things that we considered, whereas that person just brought a picture to a guy or girl and said, do this because I think it's cool.
Yep.
And that's the only thing that they can say about that tattoo
yep.
is like, oh, I got it because it looked cool. That's
yep.
it. Like,
and they're sitting there like, well, do you know why that little bird's in there?
Right.
You know, with the, yeah.
Like, no.
Means no, just like.
But to the person who got it, was like, oh, yeah, it stands for my son, you know? And we have this relationship. Like, there's a whole bunch of dialogue that they are completely omitting from their tattoo experience that the person who originally got it has. And so for me, it's always like, it's the same thing with like, I don't know what people are going to do with my work once it goes out in the world, just the same as I don't know how I'm going to be talked about. But do I care? No. And when I see people are emulating something I'm doing, I'm like, oh, all the warm tingles. Like,
all the feels.
It's so great. Like, oh, I made an impact. Like, somebody thought it was cool. Like, that's awesome. That's so
yeah.
cool. So, yeah, like, I'm waiting for that. I don't know if it'll happen. Because mine are, and yours are. They're very kind of unique. Like, you can tell they're... There was an added conversation that was like,
mm-hmm.
well, that's been done. Let's talk about how we can make this yours.
Yeah.
And it's evident in looking at your work that that's it. It's because nothing in it that I look and go, well, that's an obvious rip here. Or that's
mm-hmm.
a rip here. Or she was referencing this person. I didn't see that ever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were, you did a great job hiding it.
Every once in a while, there's the ones where I'm like, eh, they were really strict on the subject matter.
Yes.
And like some ways and it was presented. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to feel like I can take full credit.
Yeah.
Even though I changed enough.
Yeah.
But it's like, so.
Yeah.
Try and focus on the stuff where I felt like, oh, I'm actually going in and creating something here on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing, too. And I think that that's something, I mean, you had said it's hokey, but I don't think it's hokey with tattoo shows and,
yeah.
and TV shows. Is that something that kind of gets brought into your idea about like what crafts a good tattoo and
mm-hmm.
stuff, like give you all of these things that people can kind of look at. And it does help the general populace kind
oh,
of
yeah.
know a lot more. I do think it kind of frames us as more rock stars than we
yeah.
are.
I think that maybe that's the thing is that I also know people who got started on tattooing because they looked at the personality part.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't freaking care
no.
who these people are. I mean, if they're friendly enough or funny enough while I'm looking at their tattoos, great.
Yeah.
But I was just like, show me the art.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I want to see.
Exactly. Exactly. Totally. Totally. What's that? Oh, are there other things that you're finding within tattooing? I mean, we had said like focusing on tattooing
mm-hmm.
alone, but is there things that have kind of been offshoots that you're thinking about, you want to be more knowledgeable about? Because I know I thought about podcasting and I thought about like,
yeah.
I started doing jiu-jitsu because my
mm-hmm.
back
oh,
started
yeah.
hurting, and I was like, I gotta get physical, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this shit's gotta stop. Is there other,
mm-hmm.
like, investments that you found
mm-hmm.
in other things because of this?
I'm not sure. I think that a lot of tattooing has taken up so much time that I had plenty of side things that I was interested
mm-hmm.
in before, but haven't had time for them.
What are those? That's good. That's probably a better question then.
Well, it's like I really like a lot of physical activity kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've always played a lot of sports
mm-hmm.
or done, like, hiking and nature kind of stuff, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Do you
I really like, I haven't, I, well, I sort of have, but not to a very structured, like routine level.
Well, I know you did something because when I shook your hand, I went to give you like one of those my lady handshakes, and you like grab my hand. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
All right, we're doing this.
A limp handshake. I mean,
yeah.
Can you even trust
no,
that
for ladies, I'm just like, yes.
No.
I've always been raised that, you know, like, because I got to shake a guy's hand, you know, it's like, hey, how you doing? Look, when you shake a lady's hand, it's like, you got to be gentle.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's like a self-assertion. It's like the, hi, I'm me, I'm serious.
Yes.
Like,
to me, that's... that.
I can hang.
Yeah, that's devoid of gender. That's business ethics. You know, like,
yeah.
My dad taught me how to give a proper handshake. Like, this is what you do. You make eye contact. You go in like this and you give him a good
always
job.
Been told that you don't shake a lady's hand the way you shake a guy's.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you
know.
A lot of ladies probably aren't giving that back, and that would be intimidating. But
yeah.
Mine is kind of, I guess, just me. Like, I'm here. I'm rock solid.
Yeah. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my idea of, like, the perfect handshake is when you go full on, like, medieval, and you're, like, brassing.
Yes!
Me and my buddy do that.
And then you clap on the back.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're like, I'm not hiding any blades up here, no fun.
Huzzah.
We're about to break bread. I love it. Huzzah.
Good tomorrow,
Sir Bluffkin. Yeah, you know, it's like I got this, like, grip strength that kind of showed up. Like, I accidentally bruised my husband one time because we were, like, hanging out on the couch. And, you know, like, arms up on the back. And we just, you know, jokingly started, like, squeezing each other's forearms back and forth. And I went so hard that he was like, ah! And he had, like, five, like,
like,
hon,
I'm
marks.
Gripping a fucking tattoo machine and stretching skin all day. I got,
like,
this muscle is, like, the
so
best
like,
on her body.
Took weightlifting in college and, like, you know, did all kinds of stuff like that. But haven't fallen to it. I would love to, though.
Yeah, he's trying.
I've got short, powerful legs for it. So.
Yeah, well, he's been trying to get all of our girls in the studio because he knows how potent it is for longevity and all of that. So he's been, he's
I
just started.
I have an entire gym in the basement.
He just started
literally
training
everything
me.
Your gym has, I have it.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's been doing that, but you're more of like, you like the sport kind of part of it.
Usually.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about being able to just like
take
keep
somebody
a record.
Out.
Yeah.
I mean, I did fencing, I did judo, I did like that kind of thing, like just dicking around broadsword fighting.
Did we
stuff.
Just become best friends?
I know, right?
She's like, I want a Viking handshake and I want broadsword fighting. I love it.
Hell yeah. I would totally do that SCA battle stuff if I had like the time and money. Like,
hell yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Sword and board, just like
it's
get out
Brianna
there.
Tarth.
I know. I love it. Yes.
So, like, that's like the kind of stuff I would love to do. Like, I love like tons of history stuff and like, I enjoy like printmaking and like, my second favorite job was like building up, refurnishing a basement, like kind of like studs up, like kind
that's
of
that's great.
Like, just love working with my hands and shit.
That's
so
great.
So
yeah,
I love a lot of everything.
Well,
and Dragons
I see all of that stuff feeding into like, you know, the tattooing. I really hope you get to explore a lot more of them and fuse them now with what you are now honing and how they can come in and kind of elevate what you are as a tattoo artist anyway, you know, like. Because they tell us we need to diversify, you know, like have a craft here, have a craft there. Because there's only so much you can actually tangibly do with your hands and the time that you have on this planet. So, like, if you can diversify things, that's always great, right? So that's a lot of skill sets that I think are awesome. Not to mention the thing that I found and the reason why I asked was because I found that, again, it gave me, like, this is such a bubble. Like, tattooing is such a bubble. And you kind of end up finding that you're around the same kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really talk to a lot of people about a lot of things if you've been in this so long.
Oh, yeah.
So it's nice to go out and kind of be lame at something for a while and be humble to another kind of learning experience. Because it kind of helps you abstract your interaction a little bit so that you can kind of see like, oh, this is what other people are doing. Or, oh, this is a skill that I'm deficient in that, maybe not applies to tattooing. But if I want to stay in the universal game of life, probably should do more
also,
of this.
You start learning in a holistic sense how many things tie into each other.
Yes, yeah.
And so the more skills you have, the more you can either apply general knowledge or you can apply technique.
Yeah.
Or you can apply all kinds of things. Or I feel very lucky that I had done like printmaking and a lot of sculpture stuff and like various projects at home because I worked with Dremels and drawn designs with them.
Nice.
I'd done all kinds of things. So it's like, okay, the machine vibrates.
Yeah.
That's frustrating, but it's not the end of the world. I've worked with this kind of thing before.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
The things that were like putting up a wall for a bunch of people. I was kind of like, I mean, it'll take a while.
You
need
drywalling?
Yeah. Oh God, I love mudding.
Yeah, me too.
Like
I do too.
Not the sanding.
Yeah, the
mudding. Just, like, the
mudding.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the best part.
The standings, dude, like, you got to have the ventilators. I know, she is. I know. She's like, you want to interview me? I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Anybody at this, like I, when I, you know, knowing Lisa, I just know that, that similar people attract different things. I love her. Why wouldn't I love her crew?
Yeah.
You know, like, and like I said, everybody has their story. They're all relevant. And I think part of it is like, we don't give ourselves license to have that story.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really important to hear a compilation of that, especially if you're going into something like this, where there are limited real answers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're like constantly second guessing yourself and trying to figure out what to do next.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard.
Also realizing that as much as you have your own uniqueness, also there are so many commonalities.
Yes.
So listening to some other episodes of the podcast, being like, oh, okay, yes, I recognize this part from an apprenticeship. I recognize this from the first year tattooing.
Yep.
Oh, thank God. I wasn't the only one feeling like an idiot at that moment.
Yep. Or coming to tattoos without any tattoos or piercings. Like,
which is a one that's really hard
to
find.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's a couple of us in our own shop. Like, I came to it with no tattoos and piercings. I mean, piercings a little. I wouldn't say anything like upper league.
Yeah.
And then Natalie, she came to it with no tattoos either. And her entire apprenticeship was completely different than anyone else's. I was like, holy shit. Like, you were not immersed at all in hazing or any of it. It was very walled in. And it makes sense why she's at our studio now and doing the things that she and her path itself and what her boundaries are and not like they're very formulated because of where she came from. And I was like, I love dealing with her because she knows she really knows what she's going to do and what she has like a career path and when she wants to retire and things
that,
like, yeah,
that choice.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Have that set ahead.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But like, I mean, I feel like for most of us, we're just like, I don't know. I'm just, I know I have this baby idea that I'm not really sure how it's going to happen, but I'm hoping I'm passionate enough about it to see it through to something.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And usually it works out because I do feel like passion is the thing that I seek the most in anyone that I want to either go to or, you know, work around or teach, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you think you'd take on an apprentice?
I don't know. Not at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe it, as time goes on, possibly.
Yeah.
But,
I think it just comes to you.
Yeah, it probably comes to you. And then also once you feel stable enough in your own work, that you feel like you can actually give appropriate attention to someone else. So I'm still finding that. I'm just working right now on the, well, maybe I'm not going to like have 50, 60 hour work weeks because I forgot that tattoos need drawings.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, I scheduled my 40 hour week tattooing. And I'm like, oh
fuck,
no.
I gotta draw.
So yeah, whatever. You know,
okay.
I'm gonna be up till 3 a.m. doing
it's fine.
That. It's fine.
Yep.
The week needed.
which brings me to, you said you're married. Did he follow you throughout your progression or was he a new thing or like how it happened?
We started dating about a year before I started my apprenticeship. So yeah,
that's good.
I've been living down near DC. He was up in Hartford County. We met at a party, you know.
That's definitely a man worth marrying if he can survive that.
We were living 50 miles apart, but I was coming to visit him on the weekends and stuff.
Aww.
And then I was like, oh, well, I'll move in with you and then I'll start this apprenticeship. And then all of a sudden I had literally no time and we saw each other less living together than we had when we've been 50 miles apart.
Wow.
But he was very supportive and I'm extremely lucky.
No, I mean, I feel, I don't believe in luck.
He encouraged me throughout the whole thing. So.
You're probably very deserving.
Well,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I don't believe in luck.
He was willing to be one of my early tattoo victims. And I was like, hell no.
You're like, I don't want to look at this shit forever.
Exactly. And he was like, well, you can put it on my back. And I was like, I see your back all the time.
You're like, no, your body belongs to me now.
Yeah. Well, if I marry you, then I might have to see that the rest of my life. Staring, lying in bed at night, staring at that messed up back tattoo, being like, oh my God, that line's so crooked.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
No.
Yep,
yeah, no,
obsessing.
I was like, eh, no, I'll wait until I'm like a little bit better.
Yep.
So
that was something that was keen about Andrea that she had going into that was already a good push was because her first tattoo was on her husband, Nate, and Nate has a whole like lower leg sleeve of nothing but first tattoos that he will not allow the artist to go back into. It's like his thing. He's like first tattoo
collector.
Yes.
Yeah, Thomas called him out and he was like, oh, because you want a bunch of shitty tattoos. I was like, damn, that was like a solid ass. I know. I was like, never drinking, but goddamn.
I was like, oh, burn.
Well, and they, you know, they're not perfect. And, yeah. But Andrea's is decidedly the most beautiful, in my opinion, of all of them. And mostly because I just love her art.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I was just curious about that because I have gone through so many boyfriends until I got to Rico. And it was like, it was a challenge. The first one that I had that I took most of my journey throughout tattooing with, it was one of those things that could not survive the tattoo apprenticeship.
Oh,
the evolution
hard.
Of me was completely different. I became a different person in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that he was, you know, he was always asking for, like, when am I going to have more time with you? When am I going to have more? And I was, and it got to a point where I was like, I don't, I think that if this is, you know, a thing for you, that you just need me to be, you know, here all the time or what available in this way, we should just not. Because I can't. We keep pushing this back. I keep saying maybe if, and we try to redefine things, but this is just not working out. Like I had to cut it off, and I was like, and you're right. I have put you through all this waiting. I have put you through all this, you know, where you've had to help me with all these goals and be there, but I don't have any answers for you. All I know is I'm fucking having a blast and I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
So
you got to make time and have it. And it's like, like the, and for the first, let's see here, 3 years of, let's see, I guess the apprenticeship and then like 2 or so years after that, we did not have a single day, regular day off together.
Yeah.
So it's just like, nope. Date nights was the shop closed at 6 on Sundays. So I'd come right home and we'd go grocery shopping.
Yeah.
It's like, and we
that was about my day nights
and,
too.
Go to bed at the roughly the same time. That was like the little things where we're like, okay, we can do this for our relationship.
Wow.
And that's about the only time we're going to have together.
Wow. Yeah. It's pretty stable.
I think that's why her and I work. Cause like, if she has to go do designs or something, she's like, hey babe, I got to take this time to go design. I'm like, oh, I can go lift weights and not be disturbed. Peace.
Yeah. We try and find times to like work together. So like he's in IT, but he paints tabletop miniatures for commission work on the side, like Warhammer and, and all that kind of shit. We've also done cosplay with Space Marine stuff.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, we've got full size suits. Like,
what?
Yeah. I'm just showing you pictures. Yeah.
What?
Full size Space Marines.
Oh my God. I used to love those little, when I was little, I used to paint. I wasn't very good at it, but I still thought they were the shit.
Oh yeah.
Because my figures were pretty decent. They weren't like some of the stuff I see. I'm just like, damn.
Oh yeah. And he does the damn thing. So he's been painting Star Wars ones right now.
Dude, that's awesome.
He's doing stuff from Clone Wars. And there's this one regiment where like the captain has all these like count marks, like tick marks on his armor and on his helmet, and he freaking did it to scale with the correct number on this miniature that's like an inch high.
Whoa.
And I'm like, I just flipped him off.
Does he have a magnifying glass?
No.
Holy shit.
With an annoyingly large brush.
Wow.
Like for what you would like expect.
Damn, you're like, I'm mad about
this. And he does IT, so he's staring at a screen all day.
Right.
So.
And then he comes home and then he stares at these little miniatures. But that's his focus, like hyper focus. Like that's his zone time.
That's awesome.
That's his. But
cool.
I was just up on a chair, like we watched Lord of the Rings last night, and we're like, well, he was painting and I was doing drawings for him.
Oh, that's great.
So
that's cool.
You find time.
So he's artful too. So that's good. That's really good. I'm always curious about like the partnerships because, you know, it took me so long to find one that worked. And I'm curious because I've known a lot of tattoo artists and like a lot of the dynamics that I see working well is like the guy is the tattoo artist and the woman isn't. And so I you know, and they'll have kids together and all this stuff. I'm very interested. I want to get Lisa back on here because she has kids and she's a tattoo shop owner and a tattoo artist and all this stuff. And like, I would imagine it's just, you know, plotting out what you want for your life and making certain boundaries. But it's so amazing to me because I'm like, I can't imagine being pregnant and tattooing. Like, I can't imagine, like, these things. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We're not sure if we want kids.
Right.
But if we do, the plan would be that he could stay home and do the miniatures full time and raise
that's
the kids.
Cool.
And I'm going to go off and work.
Dude, that's awesome.
Like, I don't want to
do
the stay-at-home part.
I'm not about
it. That's cool.
That's awesome.
I was homeschooled by my dad, like, growing up. So I'm like, whatever. Dad's going to stay home. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like...
That's cool.
Like,
I really, really enjoyed that.
Like, I don't want to be a homemaker.
Hell yeah. That'd be sick, man.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be super cool.
Well, this is good for the next generation. We'll probably wrap after this. We've been going for a minute, so it's going to be a good podcast. I'm excited. We might even make it a two-parter.
Ooh.
I know.
I mean, we could because it's about 2.5 hours, so you can make each episode an hour 15. Usually, an episode's an hour
we're not
and a half.
Done yet.
I know. That's what I'm saying, but so far what we got...
hour 16, hour 17.
I mean, I would like that, honestly. Yeah. Like, the ones that are more bereft, it's just like, you know, you kind of run with what you got. And sometimes there's a lot of banter, sometimes not. Yeah. You know, and I always listen and be like, ah, shit, I should have said that.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always that.
After all, it's 2020, the year of hindsight.
I know, right? Seriously.
Aside from doing this, we should all hang out, man.
Oh, I know. Seriously. I want to. I want to a lot more with this studio in general, just because I feel like everybody here.
I like you.
Yes. I like you. I do too. Yeah.
You bruised your man with mere grip.
Yep.
I know.
I was like, this is definitely something I want in my circle.
Love it. I love it. He's so excited because he's like, all these tattoo artists are now following me. And he's like, why?
That's ridiculous. I mean, I have like a freaking, it's a shit ton of them. And I'm just like, I just post memes and lift weights, man. I'm like, why?
I was like, you found your people. That's why.
Yeah.
The thing that's always interesting about people is what they really care about.
Yeah.
Like, if you can talk about something just because you love it, that's always the best thing.
That's
like,
true.
I love, like, the nerds,
the nerds
in general, because they will have, like, one or two or three things that they are absolutely passionate about. So it's like, just get them talking on it.
Well, we were all in the circus together at one point, the strongman and the tattoo artist, you know.
Oh,
we're all part of the circus.
Yeah, we always say that. I was like, this makes sense. Because we're both that kind of person. Well, for the next generation of tattoo artists or, you know, somebody who's looking to get into this, what would be... You know, yes, you're not accepting a tattoo apprentice right now, but if you were, you know, and if you're thinking about this person, what are some of the things that you would need to see in this person?
I mean, drive and probably some self education. So if they're not like in a scratching kind of sense, but in a having actually read into the industry and knowing what to expect and not just coming in completely blind, because there's resources out there. Like, I was the sheltered weird kid, but I still went on Google and I was like, okay, well, I'm probably gonna expect hazing and I'm gonna expect to do these dumb chores, and then maybe they'll teach me to do this kind of thing and that kind of thing, like when I walked in with that resume. So like, it's possible to find the information, and then you got stuff like this podcast. You're gonna hear about the things people expect, but I think also they should be looking to do some research on who they want teaching them and what that person's going to offer them. Because it, in some ways, I, even though I ended up turning my apprenticeship into something worthwhile, it wasn't innately that. If I had gone and searched in more places, who knows, maybe I would have found someone who was willing to do more of the art and like form me a little bit more, and I wouldn't have to have floundered around for so long wondering what I was doing.
I can definitely feel a congruency in that in my experience.
So if they just want you to just clean a shop and be a spare key, well, then maybe it's not worth the time. Of course, it's hard to find apprenticeships, so sometimes you got to get it where you can get it.
No, I 100% agree.
One way or another, whether it's financially or there's like weirdos or something.
Well, and totally, like, in coming into, I can say that for even my first tattoo experiences, getting them as a collector, you know, like, I mean, it's the same, like the way that you kind of hunt your clientele, hunt the people you want to live the rest of your life with, all of these things. It's just like, you kind of need that kind of person who kind of sees life a little bit like you in that way, and that can match you, and then you guys can uplift each other. But yeah, I totally hear you. But it's so crazy because, like, what I ran into was that, unlike you, there wasn't as much for me, because I'm, I don't know, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay. Yeah. So you're the age of Andrea. So this was our disconnect. She grew up with a lot more social media and Google potential than I did. So she was able to get the cliff notes of what to expect. Whereas I just walked in and it was like, I think I could do this. Tell me why I can't. And then they did, you know, like, and I was like, oh fuck, you know, like, am I ever, like, and it was just like, kind of feeling, I don't know, just always feeling like a second class citizen until I was kind of like, oh, I have enough people coming to me now that I guess I can be choosy and I can have some autonomy and things like that. But it really took that. And yeah, again, like getting my first tattoo, I started on a place in my body that wasn't advisable if I was thinking long term.
Mine's got right between my shoulder blades.
Yeah, me too.
Palm size.
Yep.
Yeah, or not palm, but hand.
Yeah.
Hand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a dinner plate. It's like,
yep.
You know,
like, yep.
They're like, are you sure you want to mar your whole back with this? And I was like, oh, I'll want it forever.
Yep.
You know?
And I'm like, I don't hate the design, but if I ever get a back piece, it's going to be such a pain to cover it.
Yep. I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to let them run over
it. It's like sort of like a tree of life, but not like the standard design. It's sort of curls into knotwork at the bottom with the roots,
like,
and then
Celtic
up the top. Yep, kind of. Oh. And then it's got like a triskel embedded in the branches. And
that's
then like
cool.
Dull, like muted greens.
Yeah,
and like some blues and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
very
now
cool.
It's that's the thing that they don't tell you, or at least they tried to warn me. Again, I didn't listen because I'm headstrong, thick. You can't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
You can't tell me nothing. But like, you know, the biggest thing is that I had a tattoo artist that was not a tattoo artist. I was drawing half his shit. So he took my exact design and put it on my back and was like, are you sure you want to go this big? That was his only hindrance there.
Mm.
But he wasn't an artist. Like, had I gone to an artist that would have taken my drawing and been like, okay, we're going to make this into something more, I probably would have been a lot more pleased with how it ultimately ended up. And then I didn't even let the first person finish it. This is the one tattoo I have where three different people worked on it, and it's still not, like, I mean, it's great because it's symbolic of my journey and my life and everything, and definitely gave me a lot of, you know, weird turns in my path as a person. But, like, it's not the way, had I gone about it well, like you said, if I had actually done some research and given it some time in the making, it would have been a lot better. And I would have had more pride in it. But now it's just something that I'm like, well, it's there. And if I want a back piece, they're going to blast over it whatever way they have to. And I don't even care how it registers now. It's just kind of like, it's there. It's always going to be there. And I don't care. But I would have chosen differently now if I had known.
And I just try to make it that learning experience where you can say to the client, so I know how you feel this tattoo is too big, but trust me, it isn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it isn't.
My own pieces, I suffered from that when I got my first tattoo.
Let me talk to you for a minute. Let's just sit down.
Think about these things. I've been there.
Fantastic. That's great. That's great. Let me see. I think that's, I mean, we've covered a lot of different things. I mean, we went through, I'm just out of curiosity, what is the machines that you're now using?
Let's see here. Right now, I have a Valhalla pen.
Oh, cool.
And I'm using a... Oh, why am I blanking on the name?
Because it's all... We don't care. We're not, like... I was calling mine... It's called the Michelangelo.
By Bishop.
But I was calling it like a Michelangelo or something. I don't know what...
I hadn't even caught that wasn't how that was spelled.
I know.
I just saw it and then was like, oh...
It totally blanked. I was like, I noted all of the gold leafing on the box and how nice it was, and I ran it, but I didn't give a fuck about what it was called. And I was calling it the wrong thing for like forever.
When I figured out what
the
machine that
was.
You guys actually buy was, it's like this little box, and it's like this little piece with a stick. And then she was like, I paid. And I'm like, and this is it?
Oh, yeah.
And then everything else is separate. And I'm like, motherfuckers.
Yeah, when you add up the cost of everything, people are like, oh, look, you make so much. And then, like, you're like, well, but
not really.
Like, I thought the machine was the entire thing that you guys are holding, like, the piece that screws up. Yeah.
I mean, a little more of the cartridge system now, but you can get all kinds of stuff.
But it's like this big.
It's this little thing. He's like, what? I was like, yeah, I have a separate grip. And he's like, what? That's not a part of it?
Together.
I said, no, you buy the grip separate.
Oh, man.
Scam artists.
Back in the day of the metal tubes. And so, yeah, okay, well, that's like $30 a piece. And you need enough that you can do one for each, like, potential needle grouping a couple times a day.
Yep. And then
and
an autoclave.
Scrub them out. And an autoclave.
And an autoclave.
Getting their pipe cleaners and little grips. And if the artist was a real dick, he'd let white build up in there and dry. He wouldn't put it into soap.
Yep.
So you're scrubbing at that for half.
Oh, yeah.
So
that was hazing.
There's no more autoclaves, right?
Oh,
no, totally. There's people, if they...
People who use them.
Yeah.
Like a disposable studio like this, no, we don't have one. But plenty of people will have
them.
Yeah, it just depends on how you really want to ferret out your time. Like, one can argue that, like, making your own needles or mixing your own ink, is not going to be a thing in the future very soon. Like, it's not...
Like a pain in the ass.
Well, it is.
It's
a very big...
Like, if you're going for artisanal tattoos or something, then that might
be
something you search for.
Right.
But in general, you're doing a lot of work and you are doing large session pieces and you just want consistency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's consistency. It's
what do you
time.
Like spending your time doing.
But there's some people I'm sure that can craft a needle grouping like that. Like
yeah.
it takes them no time. Whereas for me, because I didn't spend my time doing that and getting in a rhythm, it takes way too much.
What is the name of the chemical that
yeah.
they use for it? The
flux.
Yeah. The flux headaches
mm-hmm.
and the. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, because you're basically breathing in, like, a partial bit of lead,
yep.
like, all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, like, it's...
And then you're soldering, and
yeah.
then you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah, and you're supposed to be in a well-ventilated area, but very
yeah,
rarely
very.
Are
no.
they.
I feel like every story I've heard, they're like, well, they go into the needle-making closet
yeah.
in this nice and cool space.
And you're getting high, like a Mad
yeah.
Hatter, and you come
yeah.
out all loopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got 7 needles.
Yeah. Now I can do my job.
3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, like, that's the thing is, like, and that's why I was curious is because, you know, everybody, I don't think it has any testament about the tattoos itself. It's a tool, you know, it's how
yeah.
you use the tool. But I was just curious.
I think
like,
knowing your tools is valuable. And I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
mind learning a lot of that stuff, but
mm-hmm.
just from an academic curiosity
yeah.
kind of standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean...
Or when you can,
yeah.
like if you go
yeah.
to an explorer conference and then you see somebody getting a type of tattoo and you can actually... you know, get the information right
yeah.
there. You can talk to this person. You can watch this person. All that stuff. Then you can probably nicely go into buying a very expensive whatever.
Oh,
that
yeah.
way you're not...
That's a problem. Also,
oh.
with this industry, it's really hard to test things.
Mm-hmm.
Usually your only way you're going to test something is if you know someone who has that machine and
yes.
they're going to let you use their
yes.
like $600 machine.
Exactly.
And
that's not very often either.
Yeah, no.
You know?
Because you don't want yeah, necessarily people not cleaning it properly
yep.
or doing all kinds of mistreating it, dropping
yep.
it on the floor.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff.
We've gotten machines.
Spring.
Yep. yeah, we've gotten machines before where, you know, people have come and been like, how do I use this? And you can tell that they already tried once. And I'm like, I'm not even touching that. And
yeah.
they're like, why? And I'm like, because I have no idea what you've done with that machine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm not touching that until I put gloves on. And they're like,
yep.
oh, okay. And you're like, let's go over that first.
Yeah.
you know, like, that's the first thing. And if you're buying a machine that you are coming upstairs to a tattoo shop and being
oh,
like, how do
yeah.
I use this? You probably shouldn't be using it at all yet.
Oh,
yet.
Yep.
You know, like, I'm not saying that I don't want you to pursue these things.
Yep.
And I had to have a very, you know, grassroots grit kind of like claw at the information kind of experience. It's not easy to get the
yeah.
info. But like, unless you are getting it with your client or whoever you're tattooing
mm-hmm.
in mind, you'd be fucking a lot of people up like
yep.
bad. Giving them diseases, giving
yeah.
them scars. I mean, the scar is like a least of the problem,
yeah.
but like, yeah,
the
you could be doing a lot of stuff.
Be,
that's
yeah. the thing with like tattoos in homes too, is like people be like, oh, well, the artist is really good. And it's like, well, I don't actually care about that. I mean,
yeah.
if they are, great.
Yeah.
But do they actually know how to clean their stuff?
Yeah.
Like, is there a pet in there?
Yeah.
Home?
Is the pet in there? Yeah.
Like,
that's my big thing.
Yeah. Are they setting it up on the same table that the cat walks over
mm-hmm.
and now you got litter box in your tattoo?
Yep.
Did they do it on a non- or on a porous surface,
yes.
and now you've got hepatitis in there, and
yep.
that can live 4 days outside the body,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, you're just adding that in.
Yeah.
Like, all kinds of stuff.
There's whole kinds of stuff
like,
to think
and
about.
That don't even connect to the art.
Yeah, yeah. Are you doing it on a kitchen table where people are making food too?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like, cause that's, you know, then you can't even trust your artist because they might have hepatitis without knowing it.
Yeah.
Because they cook their food where they tattoo.
Yeah.
And then if anything happens, like I would be hesitant to even accept a drink from somebody
yeah.
like that. Like,
yeah.
I'd be like, I don't know, man, you're blending a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
like mm-hmm. things are just really problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah,
I mean, he knows. He bleaches their bathroom at the.
I bleach everything.
Yeah,
with industrial bleach, man. Like everything, we all like.
Yeah.
And my pizzerias, man, everything is getting cleaned 24/7, wiped down constantly because, like, there
it's
are
like,
some
yep.
nasty ass people, man.
Wiping stuff down with Madison. It's like, I always, like, I probably use more gloves than I technically, quote
yeah.
unquote, have to, but I'd
yep.
rather know.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
do I even think it might be cross contaminated?
Like,
yep.
in the restaurant,
exactly.
like, if I shake a customer's hand right when they leave, I'm like, and I'll go right to the sink.
Oh,
yep.
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Mm hmm.
Yep.
It's true. It's very, very true. Yeah. Okay. We are wrapping up because I'm learning that I don't have anything else to talk about. Is there any words
well,
that you want to throw out?
What was the longest a client ever sat for you?
8 hours, I think, like actual tattooing.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's not counting breaks or anything.
Which is, I think, the if you're going to cap it, that's probably where to cap it. I've done 12 hours with people before, but it just, it runs people too ragged.
Yeah, they don't sit well.
And I don't think that it heals well
when
Nicole's
you do
that.
Talking shit, so I have to break her 8 hour and a half thing.
I know. Well, no, you talked shit, and she was
No, she started it all the way.
I'm going to listen back.
It was her starting it, and I will break it.
Now, it's also just as an artist, you get tired, and then are you doing your best work when you're tired?
Yes, exactly.
Probably not.
Yeah, that was when I was, like, all gung-ho, and I can do anything. And I was using a coil machine to line a back piece, so I was like, you know, it was going a lot faster than usual, but definitely 12 hours fast, quote-unquote.
Why does a coil go faster than a rotary?
It has a little more punch, usually.
Yeah. Well, it also has, like, an appropriate... it has a right
to like,
yeah,
it's like the angle at which the needle is able to enter the skin based on like the natural like curve on the
palm.
Now is a coil heavier than a rotary?
Oftentimes,
yes.
Yeah.
But like significantly?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like you can get some that like they feel like half a brick.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of them are beasts.
Damn.
Yeah. I find it's because they have a right hit. Like they're not powered by the driving of the machine itself, they buffer a little bit under the skin. So they're able, you can hear them when they're going, they'll make a kind of, and it's called bogging, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything bad about what you're doing. It just means the machine is being buffered by that hit a little bit and your skin is kind of stopping it from doing too much. So what happens is it usually doesn't refract off, but it also doesn't hit too hard sometimes. Like you can make them really hit hard, but they usually will bog under the skin a lot. You know, like they'll kind of, you know, like you'll hear that about them, whereas you won't hear that with another machine so that you can kind of adjust it back and things like that. You'll tear up the skin sometimes with other machines. Yeah, like they have more versatility. It's just because they have that buffer, I feel.
And sometimes that weight, if it's applied correctly, especially with the metal tube, it's the machine is doing a lot of the pressing for you.
Yes.
And you're just balancing it.
Yes.
But with a rotary, you have to apply a lot of the pressure yourself. Which is where probably a lot of my wrist problems do come from, is that I have to hold it at exactly the right point and pressure continuously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So you'll find like weird things where it's like I got that grip strength, but if I get it at the wrong angle trying to open up a jar, like that'll yank stuff.
And a hand massage is like next to heaven for me. I mean, like, oh my God. Like,
only a couple years ago that I found out that your like muscles and tendons aren't supposed to feel like iron cables. Like, you were like, oh, you're supposed to be soft ish and like mobile. And like, they're not supposed to click.
They're like, no.
No.
But,
well, now I'm going to tell you something right now. You ever get back into weightlifting, they will feel like iron. And
Because
I play guitar. And when I was younger, I used to play a lot of metal and shit when I was all sinewy.
Before
I lifted weights. And then, like, when I started lifting weights and I got, like, more advanced and I started actually developing muscle, I was like, my hands cannot move so fast. And it's like it's, everything just tightens up.
And
it's like,
Yeah, but the strength's there and the stability's there. And, like, you'll keep yourself from being – and, yes, you're less flexible. But with inflexibility, if you're turning and sitting for long periods of time in an awkward thing that you can do, the damage of that is far worse. It's almost better to, like, not be as flexible and kind of keep yourself in a nice alignment state, which we often don't, you know. Yeah. So things like yoga are great stuff too, but the weight training is definitely
like Robin over here.
Or drywalling.
You know, something you're just working with your arms up above your head for like an hour.
Yeah, totally.
Stretch it out.
Cool. Well, do you have any more questions?
Nope.
Cool. I think we've done. We could probably ramble on here for forever because it sounds like we have a lot in common. But anyway, that's Robin Jones. You want to shout out like where people can find you, your Instagram?
You can find me on my Instagram at Jonesy Tattoo. I've got a website, robinjonestattoo.com, which I need to update.
We all do.
Yeah. I think mine still says that I'm coming to this shop.
Oh,
so
cool.
I haven't gotten back to it.
We've had some transitions between, you
know,
it's
been an embarrassingly long period of time now. It's like over the 6 month mark, so I should get to it. But
yeah,
bad at that part.
You're
but
still getting work.
RobinJonesTattoo.com, Robin with a Y.
Okay.
So who I am, what I do.com.
Nice. I like it. I like it.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, wonderful episode, everyone. Thank you very much
for
meeting with us.
It was an absolute pleasure.
Yay.
Awesome.
More friends.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Not you're in our circle now.
Yes.
Yes. I made it.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, now we all know a bit more about Robin over at Rose Red Tattoo. Go see her and the rest of the wonderful crew over there in Ellicott City, Maryland.
If you would like to reach out to us at The Apprenticeship Diaries, we hope that you do. You can email us at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram. The Instagram account is @the_apprenticeship_diaries. Please feel free to follow us. We hope that you do. We'd also like to grow platforms and have more listening venues. Please feel free to contact us any way you'd like, and definitely contact us if you'd like to interview. Thank you.